From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, this is the Wildcast.
Welcome to the Wildcast from the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, your source for Arizona Wildcats basketball, football news, and more. I'm Star Sports Editor Ryan Finley here with Greg Hansen. Greg, that's a clunky tagline. We got to come up with something better. Huh. How about this? We're talking about Book and Khalil until further notice. Does that work? I mean, because really, we can frame this all we want. Book Richardson and Khalil Tate are pretty much the two topics of conversation today.
It's fascinating how things work out when you don't expect them. If you'd have said 3 weeks ago that the two biggest names in this community are Book Richardson and Khalil Tate, you'd have gone, sure, tell me something.
Right. The number three assistant basketball coach and the number two or three quarterback at Arizona.
That's right. I mean, he might not have even been number two for a while.
I know. Remember, we were calling, shows you how much we know.
Yeah.
We were sitting there going, well, you got to bring in Rhett Rod if bad things happen. And it's like, you know, Khalil Tate sets the Division I single game rushing record by a quarterback in a win at Colorado. You seem genuinely tickled by this. I mean, this is as unexpected a sports story as we've had in Tucson.
There has been no fun in the U of A football program since 2014.
Right.
None.
Right.
It's been hell.
Right.
Even those peripherally involved like me, it's hell.
Right.
No one wants to see you. No one wants to work with you. And it just seeps out into the community, I think.
Well, they haven't had wins of note.
Nope.
Against any, I mean, Arizona State a year ago? Absolutely, yes.
Yeah.
I'll give them that.
One day.
But that's it. And to show up and have them turn to the backup quarterback like they'd done 1,000 times before at Colorado at elevation in the cold. And to have Khalil Tate put on the performance that he did, genuinely surprising, I think, in a sport that I mean, when was the last time you were surprised by this football team? Pleasantly.
In 2014, when they pulled off about three miracle escapes.
Right.
But Saturday night, I kept turning to people around me as Tate would run for another touchdown and go, God, have you ever seen anything like this? Because we've all watched hundreds and hundreds of football games.
Sure.
But how many did you see where a guy did what Khalil Tate did?
Sitting here in the newsroom with the game on TV, he would break away for another run, and I would scream, why is he cutting it back? And then he'd truck a guy and walk into the end zone. Or you'd see him, it's Khalil Tate versus two defenders at the five-yard line, where me or you or every other college quarterback playing would either slide or dash to the corner to try to beat them in a foot race. He'd split them. It's the damnedest thing I've ever seen.
It wasn't like Kadeem Carey's 360-yard day against Colorado 4 years earlier.
Right.
Because Kadeem just went straight ahead, basically.
Right. Yes.
He didn't. He wasn't elusive.
No, still
isn't. Colorado was horrible then.
Yes.
Colorado's good now. I mean, they're okay now.
Right.
Tate just made you miss.
He made you miss. There's some wiggle to him that screams running back.
Yeah.
But I think what made him different on Saturday isn't necessarily the big runs, though those were fantastic. He had one incomplete pass.
And it should have been caught.
With the game on the line, third and short, deep in Colorado territory, he runs a run-pass option, takes the ball, and finds a guy open. He made quarterback plays. Everybody's going to talk about the plays he made with his feet. But he was a darn good passer, too.
And probably to the credit of Rich Rod and Rod Smith, they gave him a playbook that suggested he could be successful.
Yes.
They weren't those intricate Mike Leach over-the-middle patterns.
No.
They were isolated guys that were open.
Right. Well, let's compare him to somebody else who's been in the news lately. Mitch Trubisky with the Chicago Bears. Mm-hmm. Started for the Bears on Monday Night Football against the Green Bay Packers. And they ran basically seven different plays for him. And it was all basically Mitch sprints somewhere and throws the ball. And it was effective. They lost the game, yes. But there was a rolling pocket. They kept the plays simple for him. They played to his strengths, and he delivered more often than not. Similar deal, I think, with Khalil Tate. You're breaking him in now like you would break in a rookie NFL quarterback.
It's good you brought that up because I was thinking of that. At the end of the Bears game when Trubisky threw a interception to lost the game.
Yeah, dumb interception.
He threw it to an all-pro cornerback.
Right.
And John Gruden says, you got to know who you're playing against.
Right.
Well, against Colorado, Tate didn't really have to know that because Colorado didn't have all-star secondary players.
Right.
Now, UCLA might have some.
Yeah.
And down the road, he'll run into those at USC and other schools.
Sure.
So it'll get tougher, obviously. Mm-hmm. Maybe not against Oregon State, but every other school is at least as good or better than Colorado on defense.
All right. Well, let's talk about timing, too. Khalil Tate, by taking over in what is now, well, what was week five. On one hand, he avoids the sort of big numbers that you would get playing NAU or somebody like that. On the other hand, he's avoided Utah and he's avoided Houston, maybe two of the three best defenses they'll face all year. To me, if he can keep some version of this up, I mean, look, he's not going to break another record on Saturday, right? But if he can continue to build off what he did, which was hit the open man, run the ball when you have to, and most importantly, stay healthy, this could be a special year statistically for him, and they could win a couple more games than me and you would have thought.
It's just so much like Rich Rod's teams at West Virginia with Pat White. Mm-hmm. The one guy made all the difference.
Yep.
They were 11-1 twice because of Pat White. Mm-hmm. Can Khalil Tate be Pat White? Can one guy turn Arizona from 3-9 to 9-3?
Well, now, let me do what every Arizona fan did on Twitter on Saturday. Yeah, okay. What if he's the guy?
Yeah.
Where was this in weeks 1, 2, 3, and 4? I think I know the answer, which is I think he was really hurt.
Yes.
And kept off the injury report. To me. That's the
answer. That's Rich Rod. That's what he does.
Yeah. He even asked on Monday who the starting quarterback would be. He kind of said, well, you know, we're going to prepare for everybody or whatever. But to me, that's the answer. And it's funny because if you're Rich Rodriguez, it's a perfectly good explanation for why Khalil Tate was not your starting quarterback the last 3 weeks. But that would also require admitting that you've lied on the injury report. And so what do you do? It's in a way, I feel a little bad for him because he kind of can't win for losing anymore, right? He gives Scotty Young the benefit of the doubt in the domestic violence case, says we're keeping an eye on it, but the dean of students has said it's okay to let him play. And then all this stuff comes out that was ugly in the police report. He starts Khalil Tate finally. Half of Arizona fan base is happy. Khalil Tate torches Colorado. Now people want to know why Khalil Tate wasn't the starting quarterback. It's life in the fishbowl, man.
It falls back on Rich Rod, and it should, because he's not a perspective guy in public. He's not a reflection guy.
Right.
He would never sit down in a grouping of media people and say, Khalil Tate has a chance to be something special, like so many coaches do, like almost every coach does. But Rich Rod will not give you that insight. So he's not, I mean, he's an extremely smart, cagey offensive coach.
Oh, my God.
I mean, he had to know from the first week of fall practice last year that Khalil Tate was something special.
Yes.
And more than any person on the planet, he knew we've got a ticking time bomb here that will blow up our opponents.
Right. But you've got to, I think, put a young man in a position to succeed. I mean, the Khalil Tate that I remembered was the guy last year who couldn't throw a pass from me to you against USC and then got hurt. He's the guy who I remember trucking a UCLA defender and then being terrible during his time at quarterback. This is not just they had this secret weapon that they uncorked in week five of his sophomore year. He has grown as a quarterback, too. Where do you see the biggest difference from last year to this year?
I asked him after the game if he knew the playbook now, and he said, yes, I know all of it.
Mm-hmm.
And someone had told me last year he knew about 10% of it when he had to start against USC, which you're doomed.
Well, that was the knock on Brandon Dawkins for multiple years, was that he didn't know enough of the plays.
Yeah. But now that he knows a workable amount of the playbook and they give him a workable game plan, he suddenly looked in one night like he can change Arizona football for 3 years.
Mm-hmm. We saw Kadeem Carey. We saw Nick Foles. You've seen everybody from Vance Johnson and Trump candidate to Dennis Northcutt and on down the line, Rob Gronkowski.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I've ever seen anything like Khalil Tate.
I spent too much time doing research on this stuff, but Trump candidate, to me, had the best game ever in UVA history.
Right, Arizona, against Arizona State, 1997, final game 98. Of the regular 98, final game of the regular
season. But he had three runs like Tate had, 80 yards, 66, and 37 or 47.
That's right.
And for 288 yards, no one had touched that game in UVA history because it meant so much. It made him 11-1.
Sure.
And Art Lapino in 1954 ran six times for 228 yards against New Mexico State. Mm-hmm. And I've seen film of that, and that was just like Tate.
Right.
But New Mexico State went 0-9 that year. They were like a high school team.
Right. Art Lupino wasn't fighting for his coach's job.
No.
Either.
But you know, the funny thing about that game is that everybody's asking now, what can Khalil Tate do for an encore?
Uh-huh.
You know what Art Lupino did the next week after 228 yards?
What?
Returned the opening kickoff 93 yards for a touchdown.
That's why they call you Mr. Football. This is what I like. One more thing, and then we'll move on to basketball briefly. I tweeted this on Saturday, and I still believe it on whatever day today is. Brandon Dawkins needs to be on the field still.
Yeah.
What do you do? Can he play receiver? Can he play tight end? Will he play receiver? Does he have any interest in playing receiver? To me, Dawkins and Khalil Tate are the two players on their team this year that have shown that they can make the explosive play on offense. To keep one of them on the sideline because he's supposed to be a quarterback, to me, seems a little silly.
History's repeating itself. 1998, Keith Smith, Ortiz Jenkins. Mm-hmm. Dick Tomey was smart enough to get them both on the field.
OJ played some receiver that year, didn't
he? And just what you said, mm-hmm. I remember asking Ortiz at a practice one day. He goes, I'm not a receiver. I don't want to play a receiver.
Mm-hmm.
But every now and then, Keith Smith, in the famous game, Leap by the Lake game, Keith Smith, Ortiz caught a pass in that series.
That's right. That's right.
So it's been done. It's been done here.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree. You can't have a guy like Brandon Dawkins sitting.
No, no. And the question is, how do you get him the ball?
Yeah.
Do you make him a big running back? Because he's used to seeing holes develop that way from the quarterback position.
Hey, just a little toss sweep.
Yeah, a little toss sweep. Or, you know, and a little toss sweep that couldn't turn into a running back pass if you see somebody. To me, I think he's a big receiver, a big inside receiver. But again, you wonder, I mean, can you have a guy? He still needs to be the backup quarterback. Because if Khalil Tate gets hurt, and running this offense, you're going to get hurt. If Khalil Tate gets hurt, you need Brandon Dawkins in the game. Can he learn another position today?
I mean, this is 2017. Everything goes now in offense in college football. Mm-hmm. Every trick play imaginable.
Right.
Even if you only use him three plays a game, suddenly the defense looks up and sees Dawkins standing next to Tate.
Right. Anything goes in college football where you got to score 50 to win a game now. You know who we can thank / blame for that? Rich Rodriguez.
Yeah.
Real quick, I'm going to bypass UCLA because I think we both know it's kind of a crapshoot of a game.
Mm-hmm.
The winner moves on from sort of head coach purgatory. The loser gets thrown further into head coach purgatory.
Mm-hmm.
If Arizona beats UCLA, maybe Jim Mora gets fired on the tarmac.
Yeah.
But I want to talk about basketball. Book Richardson appeared in a federal court on Tuesday. Nothing of note happened. They scheduled another hearing. This is a guy who did not look good in the photo that we saw. This is a guy who's clearly been tortured by this. What do we expect going forward here?
My first thought, the one that sticks with me, is what it's done to a man's life.
Yes.
A man now with no income and no chance to ever coach again.
There was a woman, his wife Erin, was holding his hand as he walked out of there yesterday. My first thought was, oh, I don't know if my wife would support me if I was going through that. I mean, that's a brave moment to walk. How many people would have the courage to hold their spouse's hand as they walked out of their arraignment?
And the little elementary issues that you don't think about in the big picture. Mm-hmm. How does he afford airfare to fly to New York from now on with no income?
Yeah.
How does he pay for two attorneys?
Well, the U of A is paying his salary still. But yes, you're right. He has two attorneys, and they don't come cheap.
Yeah.
Not in a federal trial, they don't. And the one thing I know about federal trials, they're not quick events. I mean, these guys are going to be on retainer for a very long time for him. It's a lot of money.
Several outlets of national scope have said in the last week or so that tip of the iceberg things,
mm-hmm.
and many more coaches mm-hmm. are going to be involved in schools down the line, I probably believe that. Will that make it any less on Arizona that suddenly you see two more Pac-12 schools in trouble like this?
No. No. What happens to the Cal Bears, let's say, should have no bearing on Arizona. And to me, that's, I think, one of my frustrations with some of the defenses that we've heard throughout all this. Fans come out of the woodwork and they don't want to believe that anybody can do any wrong. It's, well, everybody does it. Well, not everybody was busted by the FBI, Greg. Right?
I mean, this story lingers and lingers and lingers and will get bigger, don't you think?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. I mean, absolutely will linger and will get bigger. And maybe that was, you know, we haven't really talked much about what the statements from Sean Miller and the president and the athletic director were. To me, is it possible they're kicking this can down the road to see just who all is implicated? Maybe Arizona, by comparison, won't look so darn bad.
Oh, sure. I mean, that's one of the first things you think of.
Right. If you find out that UCLA was giving everybody a new car, maybe giving a kid 15 grand or 20 grand isn't that big a deal.
It would just be so fascinating if you could hear Sean Miller talk, you know, freely.
Freely.
And he would say, this school, this school, this school, I know this, I know this, I know this about them.
Sure. We talk about talking freely. Book Richardson has a couple of ways out of this. One of them is to start talking freely.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, if you're Arizona, if you are any school that has ever crossed paths with Book Richardson on the recruiting trail, I think you have to be worried about. I mean, if truly Book Richardson was a rogue agent acting on his own because he needed the money, and that will be Arizona's defense, then sure, you have nothing to worry about. But Book Richardson could turn to a federal investigator and go, all right, you keep me out of jail, and I will tell you how all of this happens. He's a 15-year veteran assistant coach. Before that, he was an AAU coach who may have been on the take there, for all we know. Book Richardson is exactly the kind of guy, he knows enough that he could save his own butt, I think, by exposing the seedy underbelly of college basketball.
How many people would believe that Book will sit down and go, this is the only time this happened?
Right.
How many people would believe that?
Right. We talked about this the other day, Greg, and it's a bad comparison maybe, but it's the one I'm using. If you decide at age 46, you know, I've never had a beer before, but a beer sounds good, and you go to a bar and you order six of them and you get in your car and you drive home and you get popped by the police on your way home, and you sit there and you go, first time I've ever drank, I had no idea. There's no way.
Yeah.
People just societally, nobody decides at age 46 or 45. They're going to start being somebody different, do they?
Not many.
Maybe I'm a simple guy, Greg. I'm pretty much the same person I am now that I was when I was 25. Couple more kids.
Yeah. I know exactly what you say, and I don't think this is a first-time thing for Book.
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest story will come out when the NCAA decides what to do a year or two from now.
Mm-hmm.
In Tucson. That's the bigger story in Tucson.
Oh, yeah. I could, from my role as the star sports editor, I could really care less what other programs or cities are affected. And maybe that's it. If you're an Arizona fan, and we'll leave it here. If you're an Arizona fan, Greg, how do you look yourself in the mirror and convince yourself to go to games and convince yourself to buy the jerseys and go to the Pac-12 tournament with the specter of this looming? Is there a part of you that goes, this is all ill-gotten? Or can you suspend your disbelief for a year?
Suspend your disbelief.
Okay.
Place will rock. It'll be full every game.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be ranked in the top five all year. Mm-hmm. They'll have their best chance to go to the Final Four.
Mm-hmm.
And I think fans will suspend it.
Arizona has had such bad luck, I think, in all sports for a long time. Would it be the most Arizona thing in the world? They won a national championship this year. April 1st, you hoist a trophy. June 1st, you give it back.
Who cares?
You take it.
Who cares? All the teams that have vacated things like that,
right.
You have to look them up now to remember it.
Well, how about this? North Carolina, you want to talk about cheating. Institutional academic fraud at North Carolina dating back a decade. Last I checked, did they lift a trophy in April in Phoenix?
And if they vacate that 2 years from now, no one's going to remember that.
Right. It's not like your mind. This isn't Men in Black. No. They're not going to wipe your mind of all the wins.
Yeah.
Oh, Greg Hansen, as usual, thank you so much. That'll do it for this episode of the Wildcast podcast. I'm Ryan Finley for Greg Hansen. We'll see you next time.